The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride.
Monarch Nation, welcome back to the Monarchist Basketball Show. As always, my partner in crime, Mike Langston, and welcome back to the show, Coach. How are you doing today?
Doing great, fellas. How are you guys?
Not bad at all. Not bad.
Happy New Year.
All right, so it's Happy New Year to you, too. Happy so it's been New a little bit since we've had a chance to talk. I think probably going back all the way to the Villanova game. So obviously without going into too many details, because there's a lot of games there, what are your thoughts so far from that point until today with how things are coming along?
You know, there's a level of frustration that I have. Some of it, you know, self-inflicted by ourselves, and then some of it just the circumstances that we've had to deal with. You know, when we put our schedule together, especially focusing on the non-conference part and where we played, when we played, how frequently we played, and all of that. You know, we made those plans with a healthy roster in mind. And, you know, as much as we can help it, like we weren't healthy. I still think we got out of some of those games what we wanted to get out of it in terms of our preparation for our league. So, you know, we kind of have been stating that. We've been pointing to it. Like everything we went through in the non-conference part was to prepare us for what we are hoping to be one heck of a Sun Belt season. You know, starting out beating JMU, you know, really good execution, really good. I felt like we were prepared when we went out and, you know, in a single digit win, you know, we were up double figures most of the second half. So felt really good about that. Didn't necessarily answer the bell at times during the Coastal game. So, you know, you put yourself in the 1-1 in the Sun Belt season. And then obviously yesterday, you know, just putting yourself in a hole and trying to fight back from that against a team that you just can't do that against in App State. So now we're standing at 1-2 and staring at having a 3-0 Georgia Southern team come in here on Saturday. So everything that we want out of this season is still ahead of us. It's we got work to do, and myself, our staff, and our players, none of us are shying away from that. So in a nutshell, that's where we are. We're fighting every single day, and we're going to keep attacking this until we get it right.
Now, with that tough non-conference schedule, obviously as a coach, your team needs to learn how to win, right? How do you balance those challenges and showing them, look, these are very good teams we're playing. Don't worry about the result. This is all building towards something. How do you balance that out with the need to learning how to win?
Yeah, so again, when we made the schedule, it wasn't like we were – I mean, we wanted to win all of those games. So it's not like we were saying, hey, guys, we're going to go up here and we're going to get a good lesson out of this. We're not going to win the game, but we'll – take something away from it. Like, we went in every one of those games like, hey, we're trying to win. Handcuffed a little bit, but again, because of the injuries, going the couple of games we had, 2-4, I think, or 5 games we had to go through without KC, going the 3 or 4 games we had to go through without LJ, not having 100% Rob. He's still not 100%, but like early on, it was kind of crazy. He wasn't himself. And then the nicks and bruises here and there with everybody else. So It didn't pan out the way we had planned it to. But again, we do think that the purpose of us playing the tough schedule we had was preparing us. And again, I think it still remains to be seen. I am incredibly frustrated by the first 3 games, even with the win versus JMU, against Coastal and against App. You know, we've been in games like that. We've been in games that physical. We've been in games that there was a lesson to be learned there. And the biggest one is, like, just not getting punched in the mouth from the jump ball where you're playing catch-up. And we have not responded. the way that I've wanted to. So again, that's something we have to improve.
So as a podcast for fans by fans, we get a lot of folks that come up to us and ask us questions or give us feedback, some good, some bad, some unsolicited. Yeah. And we keep an eye out on social media. I would get rid of my social media if it wasn't for this podcast, to be honest. But one of the common kind of social media tweets that we see is, for example, I'm reading one here. We compete hard, but can't guard the start of games. Slow starts are killing us. What can you do when, so we've had a number of slow starts, and obviously, you know, you can't play a half a basketball before you start a basketball game. But what are some things that we can do to try to either decrease the length of a slow start or to eliminate slow starts?
So, you know, we kind of went through this last year, I think on a much grander scale last year. I think the slow starts were every single game. We haven't had a slow start every game this year, but last year it was like, it's getting to that point now, but it's not quite the epidemic that last year was. And we changed the way we warmed up. We changed the way we started games in terms of the actions we were running. And these are things that are all on the table now for us in terms, like, we understand. We start out better. Like, again, like, I don't pretend that Maryland wasn't what Maryland was, but, you know, you start out 17-0 and you lose the game by 15. That says a lot about what the rest of the game was. We start out in a huge hole against App and you lose by 8. That lets you know what the rest of the game was. And we've had a few games like that. So, you know, I go back to Villanova. Villanova, we're up 4-0, maybe 6-0, and if we just get a rebound, we have a play call that worked every single time we ran it against them. We're probably going up 8-0 or 9-0. Like, we've shown that we can. It's literally, and I'm not. It's literally just a focus. It is a focus. Most teams don't score on us in their first possession, because we know what they're running. We prepared to guard it. We guard it very well. We usually rebound the first one. Then we go down. And then it's almost like the real game starts. And that's the part that we just have not done a great job of. You can look at it, and I would challenge anybody. Like, game plan defensively, I'm happy with where we've been. It's the individual one-on-one defense. It's the, we got a great defensive possession. Now we just got to go get the ball off the backboard. It's the guarding without fouling and put the other team on the line. It's the, hey, we've talked about, like, this guy's going to get in the lane and he's going to shot fake and pivot and shot fake and pivot. Don't go for the shot fakes. Make him have to shoot over you. But it's easier said than done sometimes. Like, you leave your feet and then he jumps into you. Now he's on the free throw line. It's all of these little things that, like, it becomes frustrating, because you know that we've talked about it, we've prepared for it. But again, I'm not saying this is on the players, like, solely. Like, yo, we need to continue to work to just have it embedded in them. Like, this is what we're doing. This is how we're guarding it. And to require the execution of it. I know sometimes fans get curious, I'll say, about who's in the game, who's not in the game. And the one of the things that fans don't know is, like, hey, like, if Aaron, you made a mistake and we've worked on this exact thing with you for the last 3 days, like, at some point in time, like, hey, we got to give Mike a chance. The frustrating part is when we put Mike in and Mike makes the same exact mistake that Aaron made. And it's like,
man, Mike,
like, come on. Like, and again, like, for our guys, they're trying. Like, it's not like they're saying, well, I ain't going to do what I'm supposed to do. Like, they're really trying. It's just, it's that extra oomph that we need. And we see it in spurts. There's been a few games where we've seen it for long periods of time. We saw it against JMU for long periods of time. We were clearly focused and locked in. And it's just that fine line of guys just like really embracing a game plan and really like making it the end all be all of everything. And then guys that just, you know, they know what the game plan is, and yes, I'm going to do that, but they're also like, you know, I want to play instinctually sometimes and not always thinking. Well, in college basketball, like it's a fine line there. And yes, there's sometimes where you do want your guys to just react, but sometimes we pick the wrong time for that.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the slow starts or just like the lulls in the offense. Against App yesterday, we're running a lot of single high and double high screens, but I noticed three guys on the wing just standing still. Is there a play in your offense where three guys should be standing still at any time?
No. Simple answer, no. Again, I don't ever want to come across like, oh man, it's his fault, it's his fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. Like we've got to do a better job of just obviously preparing them, which I think we do, and then like holding them to like, hey, if you're not doing it, you can't be in the game. Like, and that's the tough part because we do have such talented guys. I think the biggest thing for me is you can look at, like, just take yesterday, for example. You know, would you guys be happy if I told you we had 17 assists and 8 turnovers in a game, any game? Would you guys be happy with that?
I would think that you would probably have won that game.
Yeah, so that's what we were yesterday. We had 17 assists, we had 8 turnovers. The problem was, as the game flowed, the physicality of it, there was just way too much standing. They did a really good job of switching up defense, throwing some zone, throwing some man. They play that pack line, we've seen it before. It's finding that rhythm with the ball movement and the spacing. We have such good offensive players that are phenomenal when they're connected and playing together. We have offensive players that are really good, but especially against a team like App, but against most college basketball teams, if you're just doing it or trying to do it by yourself, the other team is prepared for that. Like, you can't do that. And again, there's a fine line because you want guys to be comfortable and to flow. But when the ball's moving for ODU, we are amazing. When the ball gets stuck and you have guys standing, we're not that good. And it gets contagious both ways. When the ball's moving, an extra pass is made, shots made, everybody's hype, everybody's encouraging, we're probably going to come down and do that again. When the ball gets stuck and somebody dribbles a lot and takes a one-on-one move, that gets contagious too. Like, now the next person is going to do the same thing. And that is the part that we're trying to get away from. And again, we have incredibly talented players that it's just been a struggle. And again, I'm blaming is not what I'm doing here, but the fact that we have had the injuries we've had, it has stunted the growth of the minutes of continuity that we need. And, you know, you get KC to come back, but then LJ goes right back out. Now LJ's coming back and we got to get him back into it. You know, we started the season, Rob wasn't even a starter, but we know how important Rob is. We know the gravity he requires. We know his IQ level is tremendous. His value is much more than just him shooting, but getting him on the floor with those four other guys has been difficult because of the health of everybody. You know, you get games where Kyle is really, really, really good, and you want him to get touches and you want him to be able to do some of the things that he can do. And then you get games where, you know, maybe it's just not going as well for him. And you're trying to integrate all of that into this big pot. Honestly, like, that's what coaching is. That's what I love about it. And that's what has been frustrating, though, because it has not gone to plan consistently enough for us to not have this, the record we have.
So speaking of coaching, I wrote down three questions. I'm not going to ask them all right now. We'll weave them in with you, Mike. But last night in the post-game press conference, you mentioned that you were going to have analytics waiting for you by the time that you got to the, your house. Mm-hmm. A couple of them that you mentioned that you look at all the time. One was box outs for the people who didn't get the chance to listen to the post-game presser. Boxing out whether a player is has a bad box out, a good box out, or no maybe box isn't out. Box outing at all.
Correct.
And the other one was after a shot, whether they're crashing the boards, they're getting back on defense, or they're idling.
Yep.
So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Very disappointed in the numbers I got. Very disappointed in the numbers I got. And again, I think with some context, like that question was asked and we kind of, you know, touched on how well we thought we did on the backboards versus Maryland. And just in comparison, going against an App State team, who's bigger, but I mean, Maryland, they're savages going after rebounds. So like this is the same type of thing. And the analytics were horrible. They were absolutely horrible in terms of just the physicality required for college basketball, the physicality required for Sun Belt basketball, and then the physicality required for App State are three different levels. And the level we needed to be yesterday, we were nowhere near that. I mean, it was worse than 50-50 in terms of good box out, bad box out, or idling. And I mean, that's your own defense. You can't do that. You cannot do that. And then yesterday, I know some of the biggest moments in the game where I was frustrated was the lack of crashing for guys that are designated to be crashers for us. Just standing and just like shot goes up and the no movement. And again, like it's not the easiest thing to do all the time, but you know, in a game where we're scrapping to get back in it, we have to have that element. And one of the things that we were really good at last year was offensive rebounding and crashing. We have more guys capable of doing that this year than we had a year ago. So when we don't do it, it's crazy to me. So yeah, like, so just off of those analytics, and again, like I get a little bit of everything and, you know, where our shots come from, what plays we called and what works, you know, points per possession. If you have a play that you run five times and you average 1 point per time you run it, that's a play you probably need to run more of. If you have a play that, you know, you're scoring 0.5 points per time you run it, either you need to tweak the play or you probably need to scrap that. And like, you know, we go through all of that. We have it for last night. We have it for all of our Sun Belt games. We have it for our last five games that we've played. And then we have it for the entire season. And we pay attention to all of that stuff. All of that stuff, and it impacts your cleanup from your previous game, and it impacts obviously your planning for your next game.
So you mentioned how that I'm going to get mine offense can be kind of contagious, but it leads to guys standing around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that ultimately lead to guys standing around when the shot goes up? And they end up watching the whole possession.
Yeah. Like if the three of us are on a team and Mike, you and I are sitting there and we're watching Aaron, you know, quote unquote, do his thing. Like, yeah, like especially, and again, like our guys love each other. Like this is the closest team that I've been around in a few years. The closest college basketball team I've ever been around, you know, in terms of as a coach. Like, these guys love each other. They spend all their free time together and things like that. So there's no dynamic where I think it's purposeful or like I'm not going to pass Aaron the ball or anything like that. But, I mean, it's human nature. Like if a play's called for me and Aaron has it and Aaron doesn't run the play correctly for me to be able to get the shot I'm supposed to get or get the ball where I'm supposed to get it, I mean, it's human nature to have some frustration there. And that's the part where, again, I use it for everything, but that's definitely one of those things where I can see that frustration and you can see me on the sideline, you know, hey, next play, like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, I heard and I'm going to use the word ignorance, but I've heard a quote that says, don't attribute to malice what can be attributed to ignorance. Like, don't think the guy's doing it to spite you. He just made the wrong play. And the next time you get it and it's for him, we don't need you to pay him back, so to speak. And in basketball, that's one of those things that, you know, every team deals with at some level. I'd bet on our guys not having this be an issue consistently going forward. But again, that's part of my job to kind of get them out of the occurrences where that happens.
So, Coach, in tough times like this, leaders usually show themselves. Has a leader showed himself on this roster?
Yeah, we have. So, again, we have a unique dynamic because of the new guys being older, you know, Rob, Cal, and Steph specifically being older guys that were here last year. And again, this is college basketball now, but, you know, the ownership that Rob, Cal, and Steph have, like, this is our team that you are joining. And then the new guys coming in saying, hey, this is my last hurrah. So I am, like, I'm a leader and I'm going to, you know, purport myself and step to the forefront. And that dynamic, for the most part, is really good. Every now and then there's a clash there, but for the most part, it's really good. You know, I am incredibly encouraged. So at the end of the Maryland game, you know, Jordan Battle was not in the game. Like, Jordan Battle had not had the best night. So Jordan Battle was not in at the end when we had five guys that played their rear ends off to cut that thing down. Big Cal wasn't in either. So that's the two factions I kind of just spoke to about. That's one person from each of those factions. Cal has been here. He's a senior. This is his last hurrah. And he has some ownership of this team because of his status as a returner. Jordan Battle, who clearly is one of our best players, great energy guy coming in. This is his last hurrah. And he has some ownership because of what's happening. Well, neither one of those guys were in the game. And if you came into any huddle the last few minutes of that game, those two were the loudest guys. Like, they weren't in the game, and I think they probably both figured they're not going back into the game. And it would have been very easy for them both to just kind of fade to the background, not say much. But both of those guys were incredibly vocal, incredibly encouraging for a game that we weren't going to win. But they were like, and that's what gives me the outlook that I do have. That is what encourages me. That's what drives me, because I do see the aspects of a great team that we can be. Well, we do have aspects of it all over the place, and it's just trying to get all of those to come together. So I hope that answers your question, Mike. But, like, we do have leaders on this team. Rob is a leader. Like, he's one of the most vocal guys. Steph, who's not playing a game, is in practice every single day trying to help guys and, like, make sure guys see what they need to see. LJ and Jordan specifically, like, you know, a couple of commentators have mentioned it, but, like, literally, if you come to our practices, you're just like, you don't know our record is what our record is. Like, we are bouncing off the walls. Like, we have great energy. And that's not easy to do with the frustrating season we've had so far. But again, this is what makes me believe, and I'm not wrong. Like, this is what really makes me believe. Like, we just need to get over the hump. We need to get over the hump. We need something to go well. We need to feel good about ourselves. We need to have some success and watch how that snowballs. I'm looking forward to when that happens.
I think we all are, Coach. All right, another question that we get is, like, young guys. So Zach Wiggins, that guy who shows an incredible future. I mean, anybody who watches him for a short period of time can tell the kid's got it, and eventually he's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal ball player. Mm-hmm. So the question comes with regards to, you know, why isn't this guy getting more time, or why is this guy getting, you know, whatever. My question is more so like, Zach goes, let's say, I'm just picking Zach. It could be any young guy, but Zach goes into the game. Obviously, he's a true freshman. He's going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Even the most seasoned players make mistakes, but as a true freshman, you're probably going to make more. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes will a coach pull that player out of the game earlier than they would want to, just because of the opportunity. Hey, I need to talk to this player and let him know what he did well or he didn't do well to correct, and then get him back in when the opportunity allows, as opposed to just letting him play through it, where a fan will be like, why'd they just pull him out?
Mm-hmm. I get that frustration. I frustrate myself with that. Zach needs to play. Zach needs to play, and Zach is one of our better players, and Zach does do so many things. So just for instance, like it's 6 p.m. now. There's, you know, a couple of Sunbelt games today. One of them was at 1 p.m. today. We ended practice at like 12:58. And myself and the scout team of Georgia Southern, we went up to my office, threw the game on TV and watched it. And maybe 10 minutes into the game, Zach Wiggins walks in the office. And he had come up to watch film with the coach, with one of the coaches, and saw that we were watching the Georgia Southern game. So he sat down and watched the game with us. And we were teasing him. We were like, hey, man, you know, you don't have to stay in here if you don't want to. And he stayed. And then you could tell he was kind of elite. My impression that he was like, man, like, shoot, it's like 7 minutes left. I probably should just stay for the rest of the game now. Like, it'd be kind of weird if I get up and leave now. But the game went into overtime. And so when it went into overtime, I was like, yeah, I bet you thought you wish you would have left like 10 minutes ago, don't you? And he kind of laughed, but he stayed the whole time. And then even when the game was over with, he didn't just get up and leave. Like, he sat there and listened to the comments, and Coach Nadu was kind of testing him. Like, all right, so number 12, what does he do? And then Coach Robinson was like, hey, like pointing out this. And like, it was really good. And Zach needs that. Zach needs that. Zach is a tremendous player who, you know, for us, really embracing following the game plan is the step that he needs to take. The physicality of college basketball that a lot of times goes hand in hand with what the game plan is the step that Zach needs to take. And he knows that, and he understands it. But to be honest with any fan that is wondering that, I 100% agree. Zach needs to play more. When Zach plays, he produces. It's just some of the mistakes are just at the wrong time. And it's just like, you know, the way college basketball works now, like if you find a weakness in the other team, oh, you're going at it as much as you can. And, you know, if you sit there, and I'm not speaking specifically about Zach, I'm just talking in general now. Like if Mike Jones is on defense and Mike Jones clearly is struggling with this ball screen, well, I'm going to run another play that puts Mike Jones right back in that ball screen again. And if he doesn't figure it out, I'm going to keep doing it. And on the fly, it's really hard to get somebody to do it the right way without stopping, without fouling and getting them out, or without subbing them out. So there's times you got to get them out of there.
Yeah, and I think what some fans don't realize, it's not punitive in nature. You're not pulling them out because of that. But what he sits down, whether you talk to him as you pull him off, like right as he comes, or he sits down next to Jamal or whoever, like, I think that's what a lot of folks don't realize too, is like players are seated in particular places for particular reasons.
That, and with the way it goes now, like we can have a laptop or an iPad or something on this. You can actually show them. Like, you can show them, like yesterday, like we screwed up. We, in the first half, perfectly guarded their out of bounds underneath plays. Things that we had gone over, things that we, like, this is the way we're guarding this. Like, excuse me, it's not super complicated. Like, this is what we're doing. Did it perfectly. In the second half, one player did the opposite of what he was supposed to do. They got a layup. And for me, it's like special teams. Like if somebody fumbles a punt, you know what? He's probably not going to return punts much. If someone just keeps making. So yesterday, like that's special teams for me. Out of bounds and pressure, offense and defense, those are special teams in basketball. You can't make a special teams mistake on my team. And like, you got to come out, because these are things that, again, the coaches have prepared. We've gone over it. We've watched the film on it. We've walked through it. We've walked through it the day of the game and shoot around. This is the way we're going to guard something. The frustration for me yesterday was you take that young man out and put somebody else in. Situation comes again, same exact play. And the guy you put in makes the same exact mistake. And both of them in the first half did it perfectly. So the, like, and I just get so, like, so again, Aaron, you show me you can do it right. Mike, you show me you can do it right. Why won't we do it right every single time? And I have given them an out. I'm just like, look, I want you to do it this way. If this way doesn't work, you can immediately look at me and be like, coach, that's your fault. Like, hey, I'm right there. I'll take the bullet for it. But when you don't do it the way I ask you to do it, it's still my fault. But like, you, like, what are we doing here? Like, go left, don't go right. If you go left because I told you to go left and it doesn't work, you know what? I did what my coach told me to do. But if you go right, even though I told you to go left and it doesn't work, like, no. And then the other part that, again, is the frustrating part as a coach is you go right, but your four teammates think you're supposed to go left. So how does that work? How can it work? Let's just say you're right and you're much better going right than you are going left. But everybody on your team knows that you're supposed to go left. So when you go right, what's supposed to be there is not going to be there because the other four guys on the court know that you're supposed to go left. So like there's that, and unfortunately, that's where we are sometimes. And guys, like that, again, that's a frustrating part for me. That's the frustrating part for our guys, because they, you know, they want to win. They're trying. So it is what it is.
All right, Coach, we've had you for the usual half hour. We got three games this next week, one against Georgia Southern and then two on the road against Coastal and JMU. Obviously, we all want to go 3-0. But if there's just one thing you want to see on the court in these three games, what would it be?
I'm going to cheat and give you two answers in one. I want to have great starts, not just good starts. I want to have great starts. And that is coupled with offensive and defensive execution. If we can have great starts to not put ourselves in a hole, like we're competitors, like, and you look up and you're right there, we're going to be just fine. One. Two, if we can execute on both ends of the floor, again, that helps us have that great start, but that also gives us that confidence that we need offensively. If that ball can get to moving, if we can space the floor, like if you're watching us play and guys are creeping out of the corners to move towards the basketball, like we're teaching them to not do that because of KC's ability to drive, because of LJ's ability to drive, because of Jordan's ability to drive, because of Zach's ability to drive. The higher you move up, the more that your defender gets to be in the gap for those guys to not be able to do that. But guys want the ball so much that they start to gravitate towards it. So just being disciplined in our spacing would help us. Being disciplined on the defensive end to, okay, we guarded it perfectly the first possession. So guard it perfectly the second possession. Like don't change. You know, an example of, if you go back to the Maryland game, the very first play of the game that we're on offense, we run an action that we knew would work. KC gets downhill and they trip him, they foul him. The very next opportunity we have, we run the same exact action. but we do it differently. And for the life of me, like I don't understand why. I don't know why you would do it differently. Like, it literally worked. Like, no, we didn't get the basket, but they had to foul us because we were going to get the basket. So do it again and make them adjust, not us adjust. And like things like that, like the small details that come within a basketball game, we just have to continue to work hard. I have to coach them to make sure they realize these things so that we can continue to work to get better at them.
All right, Mike. So my final question is for fans that don't know much about Georgia Southern, and they're going to come out to the game tomorrow, because we're all coming out to the game tomorrow. Saturday. I'm so excited. Tomorrow when people are listening, we'll be there. What should fans know about Georgia Southern? And then go ahead and close us out if you've got a message for Monarch Nation.
Okay, so Georgia Southern is really good. Obviously, again, they're 3-0. I think they've won 8 games in a row, counting today's win that they had. They are – so last year they shot more threes than pretty much the entire country in college basketball. This year they still shoot a lot of threes, but they're not the dynamic three-point shooting team that they were a year ago. They're very well balanced. They can make threes. They can penetrate. They have a young man on their team named Spud Webb. No relation to the Spud Webb, but this young man who's been player of the week already in the league, is just, he's left-handed. He's got really long arms, really big hands. He's a guard. He can get in the paint. And he's one of those guys, like, if he drives right, he's going to spin back left, and he is going to shot fake. He's going to shot fake and shot fake and shot fake. One of the goals of our team will be to stay down on all the shot fakes and just wall up and make this young man shoot over you. Number 12, Tyron Moore. He was at Georgia Southern, transferred out to UAB last season, and then transferred back to Georgia Southern this year. He was a really good player for them 2 years ago. I remember the day I got hired, ODU was playing Georgia Southern, and I remember watching the game. He was really good. Well, he's back, and he's even better. He can really shoot the ball, but he's another one that if he touches paint, he's going to pivot and shot fake and pivot and shot fake. Being disciplined tomorrow to stay down on all of those is going to be really important. They have a weird number of left-handers on their team, more than most. So being able to keep guys from getting to their strong hand is going to be really important. We struggled with that a little bit against number 5 for Coastal, Josh Beadle, left-handed. So we've got to do a much better job on Saturday against that. And then just the way they're that team that is going to hard hedge our ball screens, and our ability to handle that and find the open man is going to be really, really, really important. If we do it well, guys, we'll score 85, 90 points. If we don't, you're in a rock fight, and who knows? So we have to be ready to attack their switching defenses. We have to be much better. Like, we started out with our switching defenses. I think at Richmond was the first time we really went after it. When we were so good against Richmond, so good against George Mason, so good against JMU. And we've kind of taken a step back with that. We've got to get our swagger back with that as well, because I do think that's something that will be incredibly beneficial to us. To be honest with you, you're probably going to see us press a little bit more going forward. You know, I hope that it helps us get off to better starts. And yeah, that's where we are. Georgia Southern's really, really, really good. It would be a huge win for us. A huge win for us to get us back to 500 in the league, to give them a loss, to get them a little bit closer, because we'll see them again, I think, 10, 14 days after that. So, yeah, we got our work cut out.
Mike, before we go, do you have a message to the Sun Belt Conference about playing all these games, conference games in December? Because I don't like it. I know that.
No one does. That's been another big fan criticism, comment about?
I'll say this, and I yes, I have feelings about it. For our fans to know that Dr. Selig has expressed our disagreement with that part of our schedule, the fact that we're starting, you know, and again, I'm not on here to complain. We need to be just worried about winning a damn game. So, like, please understand that. But you asked the question, so I'll answer it. Not happy that you play JMU when students are not on campus. And that's both of us. Not happy about that. I don't think that should ever happen. Our kids weren't here when we played them on the 17th. Their kids won't be back when we play them next week. Like, that should not happen, one. Two, I don't like the fact that last year we played JMU on a weekday at home, but played them on a weekend on the road. Like, if it's going to be that way, I think it should alternate every year. Like, there's no way. And I went back and looked, and the year before, the conference games, we played them at home in Chartway on a weekday and played them in Harrisonburg on a weekend. Like, that's not equal to me. You play your first four, and I understand scheduling-wise, sometimes that is just going to be the way it goes. But to play your first four at home, the one thing that I really don't like is our senior day is on Valentine's Day. Like, there's 2 weeks left in the season after that. So, yep. You know, we have our senior night with so much more basketball left. It's just so hard to really celebrate guys that, you know, this is their last college basketball season. I don't like that. So, but again, cry for me. Like, who cares? We need to win a game. And I don't give a damn where it is, when it's played, or whatever. We need to win a game. And that's what my focus is. That's what we're going to try to do. So to our fan base, I feel you. I'm right there with you. I know you guys are frustrated with that, but you're also frustrated with the performance that we've given so far. We're trying, we're working. This has not gone the way we thought it would so far, but everything that we want is still ahead of us. Everything that we have an opportunity to achieve is still ahead of us. And frankly, we need you supporting us to push us to do that. You know, have some faith in our guys. Have some faith in these young men. No matter what, you can't question their effort. You can't question how hard they work. And I'll just ask you to just stay with them. And me as their coach, like, I am pushing them every day. I've got to try different things. I got to do things that, you know, maybe I don't necessarily want to do, but we got to find some way to win some games here. And we will. We will find a way to do that. Just stick with us. Stick with us. We'll get this thing right. And by the time we get on a plane to go to Pensacola, you know, we're fighting for one of those seeds so we don't have to go down there and play 6 games in 6 days. So we don't want to play 5 games in 5 days either. Like, we're working our rear ends off to make sure that, you know, we have a manageable Pensacola tournament so that we can be playing NCAA basketball.
Y'all heard the man. Saturday, 3:30 p.m., Chartway Arena. Everybody get out there. Let's make some noise. And I actually think it's a doubleheader, right, Mike?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, women play Georgia State. We play Georgia Southern.
Awesome. So let's whip some Georgia ass twice on Saturday. Yes, everybody, we'll see you there. And go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs. Go Monarchs.